are talking about advancing and to watch. He's there to perform that word. He dispenses it. He is the administrator of the things of the kingdom. And what other place is he doing this than his body that he loves and he died for? And all these things were paid for. So I will expect people to be healed today. I want to hear a big amen. You know, we've had church just gathering, doing what we call praise worship, and hearing the sermon and going home. That's not the fullness. That's not what Jesus wants the church to be. I keep saying it. Jesus wants the church to be Mount Zion, where the sons of Jacob possess what? Their possessions. And there shall be deliverance. And there shall be holiness, in the sense that the word of God comes to purify you and purge you of all this junk that messes up our lives. That's what he says. Upon Mount Zion, this is will be. And if you look at Micah, I think Micah 2:4, where he talked about the church, he said the church is the most important place. He says the hill of God is the highest hill, higher than any other hill, the authority of God. The authority of God residing in the church. And they say people will come from east, west, north, and south, saying, let's go and worship the God of Jacob. He said, for his word will come out of Zion. And Zion is the church. And so every time we gather and the Spirit of God is there, there shall be freedom. There shall be liberty. There shall be deliverance. And there shall be healing. And there shall be provisions of divine blessings. Can somebody shout hallelujah? But you must have the expectation. I've said it, keep saying it. The church is not a social gathering. The church is a spiritual being. It's a spiritual being. We have not focused on what Jesus didn't die for people to just gather and go. No. No. If you read the Bible, you find that the church was the center of divine power. They did stuff. God did stuff in the early church that people became afraid of them. And that's what draws people. When they see God walk, they know that God is real. So I want us to be full of expectation. So you ask yourself, what if you say where two or three are gathered, the Lord is there. What's he there? He asked me one time, I said, what do people think I'm there for? You think I'm there sitting on one chair and everybody's coming and doing that to me? He said, what have you ever asked, what is God there for? Or do you think I sit a chair and just cross my leg? He said, I'm the spirit that walks among you, walks in you, and walks for you, and walks with you. He said, that's what I do. So everything you saw me do in the physical, healing the sick, that's what I still do by my spirit today. He said, because Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, when, and if it's the same thing as he's here, don't you understand that healing is here? Mary said to him, Martha, he said, my brother is smelly. So, sir, you don't have the solution. He said, Martha, you don't know me. I'm the resurrection itself. I'm not praying for it. It's here. Brethren, you want to hold the truth? The healer is right here. Not looking for it anywhere. The healer is what? The restorer is right here. Your helper is right here. And he will do all of this if you expect it. If your heart is open. So that you leave this place with the fullness of the kingdom demonstrated. The kingdom of God is not just in words. The church has stopped in words because the people that preach it haven't developed enough faith to declare what God is doing. It's not just in words. It's in power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit. And this evening, you will see it again. See, not everybody said amen. I want everybody to say amen. Because that your amen connects you to it. That amen you say is saying to the word that God is inspiring, Lord, I agree and I receive it. Two cannot work together except they agree. I said there will be healing right here. Praise the Lord. Lord, okay. All right. Can we rise up, please? Glory be to God in the highest. Amen. Amen. Glory be to God in the highest. Amen. For his mercy is in the name. Christian, it's not just church talk. It's not just church talk. It's not just what we say because we are Pentecostals. I mean, living the reality of it daily. Having the experience of it daily. And this is part three of this message that we started. And so in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 19, in New Living Translation, it says, may you experience the love of Christ. May you experience what? The love of Christ. It's not, it didn't say just talk about it. He didn't say, may you just talk. He didn't say, may you just even just preach. He said, no, experience it. Have an experiential encounter with the love of God. And then we dealt with this last Thursday about people who really had this encounter with the love of God, how it dramatically changed their lives. Dramatically changed their lives. And not just change their lives, change their relationship with God very dramatically. That's 1 John 4:7. If you read the message, 1 John 4:7, the message, he said, my beloved friends, let us continue to love each other. Since love comes from God, everyone who loves is what? Born of God and experiences a relationship with God. Experiences a relationship. That relationship with God translates into a daily practical experience. A daily practical what? Experience. That's what it translates into. Otherwise, our Christianity will be wheelbarrow stuff. People just push you and then you get motivated by things that you shouldn't be motivated by. And it leaves a lot of Christians with a lot of unanswered questions. A lot of unanswered questions. I mean, because we are afraid to admit that we have issues. We are afraid. We sweep them under the carpet and just live with them. And it discourages people. Really brings discouragement. So we say that the word experience is to have a practical contact or observation of a fact or an event. To have a practical experience of the reality of our salvation. If you say I'm saved, to live in total freedom daily. It's not a mountain. If I say I'm saved, it means I am saved in my body, spirit, and soul, which means I'm not under bondage. To see myself live in total freedom every day. If I say I'm blessed, it's to see myself live in that practicality of divine blessing of Abraham. Because that's what Jesus died for, that these things will become real, not just talk, and that's Abraham blesses a man. But to have a practical, living it in practical daily life. Because my brothers and sisters, this is real. This is not rehearsal. This is the real deal. We are living every day. And every day that goes, every month that goes, we are getting nearer our exit from this world. This is real. It's not just rehearsal. It's now. The Bible says now is the day of what? Salvation. It's now. It's today I should experience it. If I'm healed, it's now, not tomorrow. It's now. It's today, not tomorrow. If has given me victory, it's now. It's now. We'll experience it. It's now, not tomorrow. It's now. So last week we were talking about somebody that had a practical encounter with the love of God. And she came and poured this oil on the feet of Jesus, cleaning it with her head. Her relationship with Jesus became a mutual love relationship. She wasn't going to Jesus because it's Sunday morning. She wasn't giving to Jesus because you have to pay your tithe. She was not relating with Jesus under any form of obligation. She gave a whole year's wage worth of stuff willingly. She was not relating with Jesus because this is what we do every Sunday. No. It was a relationship motivated by love. She loved Jesus. She really, really loved Jesus. And then we saw Paul. Paul, who said, I'm ready to die for him. He died for me. He found the love of God. He discovered the love of God. It tremendously transformed his life. And brethren, it's important for us to note that the only thing that can make you and I do something willingly is love. Love. There is nothing that can make a man do anything willingly like love. If you motivate me with, you buy me a car, I will do something. But the reason I'm doing it is because of the car. But love is the only thing that does something for no reason. Except they love the person. Reward or not, it just does it. Love is the purest motive there is for doing anything. If you bring fear of hell, I might do it, but I'm not doing it willingly. I'm being forced by fear. And fear brings torment. You can do things by fear, but you may not do it willingly. You are just doing it to avoid punishment. So if they remove punishment, you say, okay, fine, let me now do what I want to do. The only thing, brethren, that can make you and I do something willingly is love. And when you love, no price is too high. That was why the woman came and poured the whole year's stuff right there. It didn't mean anything to her. That, look, Jesus was priceless to her. Do you know the laws of Moses can make you love God? Because the laws has no life in it. It's, the Bible said it's the ministration of death. And the only reason God does something is his love. For God so loved, he didn't give his son out of obligation. And the son said, what greater love is this, that a man will lay down his life for what? He said, I'm doing this because I love you. He said, my father is not forcing me. I'm laying it down willingly, motivated by a pure love for you. And Jesus said, if you love me, if it's a condition, if you love me, then do what I said. He said, once you love me, you will do what I said. If you love somebody, if they tell you to sit there, you will sit down four times because you want to make them happy. Am I telling lies? You want the person to be what? But if you don't love them, if they say sit down, you give four reasons why you won't sit down. I'm telling you the truth. So when these people discovered the love of God, their relationship with God was put on a right pedestal where it should be, a mutual love relationship. And that's the healthiest relationship we can have with God. The healthiest relationship anybody can have with God is based on the fact that he loves God. He loves Jesus. Not because the church told me to do this. Not because somebody is telling me to do this. I own my action. It becomes my action. It becomes a willing offering. And that's what God says. God loves a cheerful giver. You're giving it because you love God. You don't tell lies, not because of hell, because you love God don't want to say anything that hurt him. He don't want to hurt your brother. It's love that motivates all of that. It's love. And the story of the cross and everything that Jesus did for the redemption of mankind is a practical demonstration of divine love. There's no other place you find God's love more than the cross. There's no other place. And then the Bible tells us, and that's why the Bible says to look unto Jesus. Look unto Jesus. Say, look to him. And be ye saved. See, the Bible tells us that we love him because he first what? So if I want to, if I don't have a revelation of the cross, if it's a story to me, if it's a church story to me, I will never love God. I'm not kidding you. I will never love God. What will make a man say, I'm not only ready to be bound, but I'm also ready to die for him? First John 4:19 said, we love him because he first loved us. So we don't love him until we know that he loves us. Until we understand that he loves us. And then number two, then we can love others too. Then you can love your wife, love your spouse, love your children, and love in the body of Christ. We can learn love in the body of Christ. It's easy to come and say, brethren, we should love each other. It's not going to happen like that. It's not going to happen like that. It has a how. God says the how is to find out that I love you first. When you find that I love you first, that's what happened to Paul. He found out that he said he loved me and gave himself for me. He used the word. He said he loved me and gave himself for me. He said that he died for me. He gave himself to me. The thing ignited the affection in his heart for Jesus. And you could know that Paul really loved Jesus. He wasn't doing anything for any other thing. He simply loved Jesus till he died. So, for us to be able to love God and to love people, we must discover the love of God as revealed to us from the redemptive work on the cross. 1 John 4:20. If someone says, I love God, and we say it all the time, right? How about now? Don't we even sing it? I love you, Lord. And then we add some sprinkling of stuff. Ooh. And if that is not enough, and God is looking at us. He once I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, do I really love you? I said, let me hear from you what you think about me. Am I doing this thing because I'm a pastor? If I'm not a pastor, will I be here for Bible studies? Will I serve you? I said, Lord, do I really love you? Because you need to sort this out. Do I really, really love you? I want to know what you think about me. There was a meeting we were having. I said to the Lord, what do you think about this meeting? I want to know what you think about this meeting. First January, I went to him. I said, tell me what you think about this church. I want to know what you think about this church. Tell me what we need to change, what we need to stop doing. Tell me exactly what you think. How do you see us? First John 4:20, if someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is what? I can't hear you. I still can't hear you now. Can we call it a spade? He said what? A liar. For if we don't love people we can see, then how can we love God who cannot see? And this is the Spirit of God writing this thing. If you we can't love people we see, then we don't love God. It's just what the Bible says. So you can't sing "I love God" and be able, and you still don't love people. Still don't love people. And it goes down to not just people you come to church with, brethren. It's people you don't know. People you haven't met before. People who hurt you. People who despisefully what? People who gossip about you. People who do you evil. And love is the only law of the New Testament. The New Testament doesn't have two laws. It's only one. You miss it, you miss everything. There's only one law in the New Testament. Jesus didn't give us two laws. He said, a new commandment, what? I give. That you do what? Case closed. That's the end of it all. People love to put things on their head. They want a lot of laws to. God didn't give the New Testament church two laws. It's only one. That's what we're talking about. Because that is what, if a man lives in, then he lives in fullness of God. You can't go wrong if you live in love. Can't go wrong. Look at this one. Romans 13:8. Owe no man anything except to love one another. For he who loves another has what? I want to hear you. 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 Has what? Church, I want to hear you. Has what? You've done everything God wants. Nothing required of you. You love, you fulfill the law. You're done. You're done. And you know that is our identity. 1 John 4:7. Why is it our identity? Why is love our identity? Because God is love. And if you are born of love, you should be love. It's our identity. 1 John 4:7. My beloved friends, let us continue to love each other, since love comes from who? I'm reading Message. Okay, well, I can read that one. It doesn't matter. My beloved friends, let's continue to love each other, since love comes. Where does love come from? From God. So love is not from human beings, not human nature. From God. Everyone who loves is what? Born of God. And experiences that relationship with God. Continue to verse 13. The person who refuses to love doesn't know the first thing about God. Can I read it again? The person who refuses to love doesn't know the first thing about God, because God is, so you can't know him if you don't love. Continue to verse 13. This is how God showed his love to us. God sent his only son into the world so we might live through him. This is the kind of love we are talking about. Not that we once upon a time loved God. That is defining it. But that he loved us and sent his son as a sacrifice to clear away our sins and the damage they've done to our relationship with God. Not that we loved him. And now, my dear friends, if God loved us like this, we certainly ought to love each other. No one has seen God ever. But if we love one another, God dwells where? Deeply within us, and his love becomes complete in us, perfect love. 13. This is how we know we are living steadily and deeply in him. Not by night vigil. This is how we know that we are living steadily and deeply in him, and he in us. He is giving us life from his own very spirit. He's giving us this love. So this is our identity. This is our identity. This is how we know. This is how we know. Can I hear amen? I want to say, can I hear amen? He said, this is how we know. It's not Jinjin sister. He didn't put it there. He didn't say, what's a Jinjin? Is how you know. Brethren, you don't know by Jinjin. Somebody came to me and said, Pastor, that sister is Jinjin. I said, really? Bless you too. He didn't say Jinjin. He didn't say, because he's a senior pastor. No, he didn't say that too. He didn't say that too. He didn't say because he prays all the time. He didn't say that too. And prayers, I was telling him, I said, if you are in the Word, you will be prayerful. There's no way you grow in the Word and not prayerful. It's not possible. Because the Word will grow your prayer life. Natural. It's very natural. I was telling him, I said, some people say, hey, here they talk of prayer. Here they talk of the Word. I say, it's ignorance. Once you build your life on the Word, the Spirit of God will build you in prayer. And your prayer will be very effective. I said, what they're looking for is all this religious prayer that people do. I don't have time for that. Because it doesn't work. It doesn't work. If it works, why is the result now? If you're a person that builds your life in the Word and you grow in your spirit, your communion with God will be matured. Your communication with God will be matured. And God will teach you things. He will direct you how to pray. Even talk, I tell you to pray. I want you to pray about this. Pray about this. Your prayer will not be of the flesh. Not be of the flesh. Because you do things of the spirit. Your prayer will, you have all this time you pray, but more than those times you pray, you find that you pray more as you go through the day. Praise the Lord. If you were there yesterday, man, we had a ball yesterday. It was awesome. Hey, it was too much. We had, this believers meeting is amazing. I mean, I didn't feel like leaving. We had a testimony of how the Spirit of God directed a sister in her prayer. An incredible miracle unleashed. Unleashed for her. And what happened to her? Unusual. But it was the Spirit of God that said, pray like this. Do this one. And do this one. Because we have infirmity in prayer. But when you grow in the Word, come on, man. If your children grow, don't they discuss more maturely with you? I'm asking. They discuss more maturely. When you grow spiritually, your prayer ceases to be religious prayer. You talk like somebody who is grown up now. You talk to your father as a grown-up person. You discuss as a grown-up person. So let us understand that the key thing about the love of God, one of the key things is that it is unconditional. We say it all the time, but please, let the Spirit of God teach us this. We struggle here a lot. The love of God is unmerited. Completely unmerited. While we were yet sinners, what happened? While we were yet what? For God so loved the world, he gave us his son. While we were yet sinners. And not that we loved. I was preaching a funeral, and this man was in the coffin. And I said to them, I said, see this man here. I said, all of us should get there. I said, nah, everybody's talking about, oh, we should forgive. I said, you can't do it. Forget about talks, you can't do it. I said, that's why you need Jesus. Because he's the only one who can do this thing we're talking about. It's out. We said love is from God now, so it is out of human nature to love. It's not in human nature to love like God. I said it here 2 Sundays ago. The ground you have. You see the ground we match upon? You don't have to plant weed. Weed will naturally. I don't care how you try to do your grass. Weeds will come there. Weed will grow. You don't have to plant it. You don't have to put fertilizer for it. You don't have to do anything. It will grow. Brethren, the natural man will grow selfishness. You don't have to do anything. That's the nature. The same way you see weeds grow, that's the way selfishness and lovelessness grows in the natural life. It's native, it's indigenous to it. It doesn't need passport to go there. It lives there. A really very indigenous to natural self. So the love we're talking about is from God. It's not from man. It's from God. It's not from man. It's God's love. It's not man's love. No man can love his enemies. It's not possible. It's not in the realm of man. Once somebody talks evil of you, you get angry. You won't talk to them for the next 1 week. If you talk to them, you manage to mumble something. And they call you and say, we want to see you. You see that man that spoke evil of you? He's going to jail. Can you go to jail for him? He said, am I the one that... Let him go and see what he's doing. Leave me alone. But why were you sinners? My brothers, why were you to what? We didn't even love God. He sent his son to wipe away our sins and restore us to his relationship to himself at his own cost. What's our cheap? We need the Spirit of God to open our eyes to see this realm of love doesn't belong to this world. That's why you can't push Christians and say, do this one, do this. Jesus said, without me, can't do it. That's why we live by faith, not by works. Can't do it. Anybody who can do it, let me see your hand up. You can't do it. The devil will up the game. You can forgive here, then you go there, they do another one, say, is it only me? I'm telling you. Husband and wife, praise the Lord, though. Your hallelujah is not strong. Yeah? Because we have stopped, done. Let me talk to you. I'm your brother. We can't even begin to talk of what happens in Christian homes. We can't even begin to talk about how some men talk to their wives like they're house girls. We can't even begin to go there. We can't. I'm telling you the truth. Deprive them of right to express themselves. And their feeling doesn't count. I say, house girl. Doesn't count. Somebody that came to see me, they came with their pastor up here. And then they started to talk, and this woman was dying. You could see a heartbroken sister. And the husband said, Pastor, I don't commit adultery. I looked at him. I didn't know where to start. Because right beside you is a broken heart. A broken heart that needs your love. And the Bible said, if you see your brother has need of this world's goods, and you close your heart, say, how can you say what? This girl needed love from you, the husband. All you talk about is love, Moses. I looked at them. I didn't know where to start. I didn't know where to start. He was far removed from Christianity. He didn't understand it. If he knew Christ, they wouldn't even come to my office. They won't come there. Praise the Lord. I say praise the Lord. First John 4:9. In this was manifested the love of God towards us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might be saved through him. Herein is love. Not that we loved God. Herein is love. And this is love. Brethren, this is love defined. The first sentence says, not that we what? So we didn't merit it. He didn't love us because we love him. But that he loved us. Not that we love God. That is a huge statement. Because it doesn't take us anything to flip our lid. It doesn't take much. It doesn't take anything for us to flip our lid like the whole world will collapse. It doesn't take much. Not that, and this is love. Not that we what? But that he loved us and sent the best to be the propitiation for the very sin we committed. He sent his son to come and pay for it and bring us back to him, free of charge. And the Bible says, he that refuses the love doesn't know God at all. So you see that the cross reveals to us the love of God. That while we were yet sinners, he hung on the cross for us. Not because we loved him. So, can I tell you something? He brought you healing, not because you loved him. Can I hear amen? He brought you healing, not because what? You loved him. He brought you the blessings of Abraham, not because what? I can't hear you. Not because you loved him. He brought you all the blessings of the cross, not because we loved him. None of them. That's why the Bible says it was freely given. So to understand this thing we read and talk about all the time, we need to have very serious, intimate, close fellowship with the Spirit of God that teaches it, that reveals it. And we need to be interested in knowing it. Leave the laws alone. I'm telling you people, leave the laws what? Alone. Focus on Jesus Christ. This truth is in Christ alone. Focus on him and see your life take an incredible turn. First John 4:15 message. 1 John 4:15. Everyone, let's read it together. Who confesses that Jesus is God's son does what? Participates how? Continuously in an intimate relationship with God. Can we read it again? Everyone who confesses that Jesus is God's son participates how? Continuously in an intimate relationship with God. Let's read it one more time. Everyone who confesses that Jesus is God's son participates continuously in an intimate relationship with God. Continuously. He was sharing some incredible revelations with us yesterday. That continuous participation wasn't in church. It was outside the church. Continuous participation, where your mind is on him. Continuous participation. He keeps sharing. The Holy Spirit keeps talking to us. He keeps sharing the mysteries of kingdom, the mysteries of cross to you. Pastor Sinadi told us one time how the Holy Spirit was teaching how to be a husband. And that teaching was incredible. How he was teaching him how to be what? A husband. Continuous participation. You cannot be in continuous participation with the Holy Spirit and bear grudge. It's impossible. It's not going to happen. Praise the Lord. I said praise the Lord. So when you have this continuous participation with him, then he's the teacher. Then he will begin to open your eyes. 1 Corinthians 2:12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, by the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches. The Holy Spirit teaches it. How does he teach it? Luke 24, 45. Then opened he their understanding. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. That's what the Spirit of God does. He gives you a rhema, not logos. He gives you a direct revelation. He talks to you and opens your eyes to understand what is not, you can't understand by human faculties. You can't understand it. He gives you a rhema, not logos. Not logos. And it is that rhema that builds faith. Faith comes by, faith doesn't come by reading. If you read, you must hear. Because the Bible says we live by every word that proceeded out of what? Mouth of God. That's how we live. If you don't have this continuous fellowship with him, you'll be engaged in so many things that won't have add value to you. They don't add value to you. It is this hearing. It is this hearing that produces faith. This continuous participation. And then you study your scripture and he opens your understanding. He talks to you. He shows you what you can see. You see it. You understand it. That's how faith comes. You hear it. He teaches you. They shall be taught of God. Everybody shall be taught of God. Now look at this group that read the Bible. Acts chapter 13, verse 27. Acts 13, 27. For they that dwell in at Jerusalem, for those who dwell in, it's okay. Can put New King James, it's okay. Can put it. For those who dwell where? Jerusalem. And their rulers, because they did not know him. Brethren, they knew the laws of Moses very well, but they didn't know Jesus. They did not know him, nor even the voices of the prophets, which are read where? Every Sabbath. They read it, but they didn't know what they were reading. The result is that they fulfilled them in condemning him. People sit in church, condemn the grace of God because they don't know Jesus. They don't know the love of God. They don't see the place, the role it plays in their life. So they condemn it. Praise the Lord. And then the thing it does again to us is let's read the scripture. Romans 8:32. Am I communicating at all? Are you hearing me? Or have you gone home? If you are here, praise the Lord. Those who went home, please come back. We are reading Romans 8:32. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for how many people? Also. Look at the question, brethren. Where I'm going is very important now. Please listen. He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us. How shall he not with him also freely give us what? All things. Now, listen, look up here. If I don't believe the first statement, I will not believe the second thing. If I don't believe that God did not spare his son, but he gave his son to me, I will not believe that God can give me anything freely. If I don't accept, he that did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for me, if I don't believe that he gave me Christ freely, I cannot believe that he can give me any other thing free. Because what else is costlier than Jesus? And that's where my faith will die. It's called carnal mindedness. Carnal minded people don't receive things from God. If I can't believe the first one, If I can't believe the first one, which is the love of God, He gave me this freely, then how can I believe you can give me any other thing freely? Praise the Lord. Then look at 1 John 4:16. 1 John 4:16. God is 1 John 4:16. Can you put message again? No, it's not message. I think this is New Living Translation. God is love. Okay, it's this message. 1 John 4:16. No. This faith, John, is not just, oh, no, I'm the one that made this mistake here. Let me read it. Somebody will get it for me. God is love. And we have, I think I have it here. It's just 1 John 4. Huh? 1 John what? No, it is not. It's not. Okay. Ah, that's it. We know it is. We know it so well. We have embraced in heart and soul this love that comes from God. God is love. When we take up permanent residence in a life of love, we live where? In God. And God what? Lives in us. Then continue. Continue. 17. This way, love has the run of the house. Which means, Paul said, we are constrained by the love of God in everything we do. Because at home and mature in us, so that we are free of worry. Worry on what? Judgment Day. First worry that goes is worry on what? Judgment Day. Our standing in the world is identical with Christ. Continue. 18. There is no room in love for what? Fear. Well-informed love banishes what? Fear. Since fear is crippling, a fearful life, fear of what? That fear of judgment is one not yet fully formed in love. Continue. We do are going to love and love and be loved. First we are loved, now we love. He loved us first. Now it says when we understand the love of God, that it deals with fear. It deals with fear of judgment. It deals with fear. Fear of judgment. Fear of judgment. Can you go back to verse 18? Let's look at that one. There is no room in love for what? Fear. Well-informed love banishes fear. Since fear is crippling, a fearful life, fear of judgment. When you have those things, you are not yet fully formed in love. Now, look up here. Let's talk about it. What do you think stands between a Christian and his blessing? It's fear. Fear of judgment. The devil comes and accuses you. He will see to it. Because he will accuse you. And when he accuses you, the fear of judgment, what? Arises. So you think God will not hear? Come on, talk to me. The thing that stands between the Christian and victory is fear. Fear. He doesn't believe that God gave him all these things free. So he doesn't have boldness to accept it. Every single time you bring a Christian and convince him that healing is free, if he gets convinced it is free, you see it happen. Immediately. It go. I have the same struggle. That's why I'm talking to you. I have the same struggle. Because every single time you want to pray, the devil shows up and wants to convince you that God will what? That you don't merit it. He will find something. He will always find something. Am I talking to myself alone? How many of us are in the boat? If you are not in the boat, jump in. He must find something. And that thing will make you fearful of God. But he said, if you do that, it's because you have not been well informed about the love of God. You have not developed in your love. He said, that's why you are doing that. He said, when you grow in love, it will banish fear. Fear will be what? Annihilated. And without fear, you can go boldly before the throne of grace and obtain what? Obtain what? Obtain what? And what again? To help you. At the time of is grace merited? Church, answer me. Is mercy merited? You see why the struggle is. Paul, come here. I want you to stand there. My brother, can you come? Stand there. I want you to come in between us. So in between him and me, there is nothing here. So we can talk, right? Come on now. There is no hindrance, right? Church, I'm talking to you. Then fear comes. What does this thing do to me? Huh? I'm asking. It hinders me. Because now, I'm not sure about him. The reason I tolerate this is because I don't know how much he loves me. The Bible says the reason you do that is your love has not matured. That when your love matures, you will grab this thing and do what? Took this away. And because he said, while I was yet a sinner, he provided me all these things. I don't need you here. It's mine. Paid for. Completely paid for. Delivered to me. And I'm going boldly to have it. And then because then you have understood the love of God, it builds your faith like nothing else. Thank you. How many of you get what I'm saying? So that's why our fellowship with the Holy Spirit is very, very important. Because he's the only one who can make you mature in love. And so when you mature in love, and you can go to God freely, and go get those things that are freely given to you, those things that are freely given to you will transform your life to what God wants it to be. Can I hear amen? Let me give you an example. You know the first thing that the gospel teaches is righteousness. That you accept it freely. How many of us believe that? How many of us believe we accept it freely? Put down your hand, it's not true. This is one of the things many Christians don't accept. Because the devil will see to it. Now, look at Israel, that the Holy Spirit was giving the church example. He said the Gentiles, they didn't seek after God, trying to please God. But God accepted them. He said, but the Jews, the Israel themselves, he said, they didn't achieve it. God did not accept them. He said, why? They didn't seek it by faith. Because they were zealous. They were very zealous, doing all manner of stuff, like we do today, 100 days fast, this. Why do you think these things happen? Because we think we are not accepted until we punish ourselves. He said Israel was zealous, but did not attend to it. God didn't accept them. He said, but the Gentiles, who did not follow after those things, they were what? Come on, church, they were what? Come on, church, they were what? He said, because Israel, being ignorant of the righteousness of God, went about trying to establish their own righteousness. They were thrown out. It's happening today like it's crazy. Totally crazy. And the devil is having a fun. Because we have not developed in love. We have not understood the love of God. So we allow fear. We allow fear of judgment, fear of rejection, fear of everything to come and stop you from what God says. If I give you my son, what else will I not what? Give you. I gave you my son while you were yet a sinner. So why should I not give you anything now that you ask me? It's hard. But the love of God passeth all. So we struggle. That's the only thing between you and your miracle, nothing else. The day you mature in love, you take fear and annihilate it completely. Let me tell you what happens. You will find your love, your heart will ignite with the love of God. Okay, let me give you an example. If I go to God and get something major, will I be happy? Come on, will I be happy? What does it do to my serving Jesus? It bumps it up. Come on, church. And not only me, all my friends, they wake up, they say, wow, this is real. God is real. You see enthusiasm. Is it not because of what God did that the doctor's wife went to follow us to church? Say, this is for real. It ignites, it's something that ignites your spirit with love for Jesus because it becomes real. Becomes real. You have that experience of your salvation. Can somebody shout hallelujah? It's no more what you talk about. It's what you have now experienced yourself. Have I left you behind? If you are with me, shout hallelujah. So the key solution is to grow in love. Is to mature in love. Because people who are immature in love allow the devil to accuse them, talk them out of what is freely given to them. And if you don't have those things, you get frustrated. Talk of, okay, the love of God we're talking about. If you don't believe that God has poured this love in you, if you don't believe you're a new creature, you'll never live the life of a new creature. You can't. It starts with faith. The just shall live. If you don't believe you're a new creature, if you don't believe that God has poured his love in you, you're not living that life. You'll be living the old carnal life that is pure, mainly religious, zealous, without the participation of the Holy Spirit. But the day you say, all things have what? Is it not as your man thinketh in his heart? All things have what? As you think in your heart, then you begin to say it, oh God of glory. Let me read one more scripture and we'll close. Am I communicating to you? Are you tired? Shout hallelujah. 1 John 4:11. My dear friends, if God loved us like this, we certainly ought to love each other. No one has seen God ever. But if we love one another, God dwells deeply within us, and his love becomes complete in us, perfect love. This is how we know we are steadily, deeply in him, and he in us. He has given us life from his life, from his very own spirit. 14. Also, we have seen for ourselves and continue to state what? Openly. Continue to state openly that the Father has sent his Son as Savior of the world. Everyone who confesses, continuous confessing of those things that you know is true. It comes from your mouth. Continual declaration of those things makes it work. Let the redeemed of the Lord makes it work. If you are healed, if you are saved, if you are blessed, he says we openly state these things. And we continuously confess that Jesus is Lord. The Lord will help us in Jesus' name. Did you catch anything you can do? Praise the Lord. Can we rise up?